Paddy Power are giving customers a £5 free bet for one race on the final day of Royal Ascot. Log on to the app for more information and to claim your free bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, thanks for joining us. It's the fifth and final Racing Post Royal Ascot postcast of a memorable week. I'm Bruce Millington and guiding you through a star-studded eight-race card featuring three Group 1s are Keith Melrose and Tom Collins, fine Racing Post tipsters, and Paddy Power. They're one of their chief odds compilers and a top judge, Niall O'Reilly. It really is a superb card. It starts at 12:40, ends at 4:40, and in between, like I say, we've got three Group 1s, a couple of Group 2s for two-year-olds, two ludicrously difficult handicaps, and we finish it off with the bum fight that is the 2 mile 6 Queen Alexandra. Let's get stuck in. On the 12:40, it's the Silver Wokingham Handicap, a consolation race for the big race itself. 6 furlongs. Keith, I'm going to come to you first with congratulations for nailing a 20-1 winner in the opener on Thursday in Highland Chief. Excellent. We're recording this just before racing starts on the Friday. Would you expect, now that the rain appears to have vacated Ascot, that we're going to be looking at roughly something on the good side of good to soft on the straight, good to soft on the round? Is that fair enough?
Yeah, I'd think so. I suspect you'll be looking at good ground or as near as damn it on the straight course by Saturday. And yeah, you're right. It'll probably just be good to soft on the round course by that point, if there's no more rain. So yeah, there's been early moves I've noticed on the Saturday races for horses that are better on the softer ground. Even Friday races, Pierre Lapin seems to be on the drift on the basis of soft ground, but I don't think it'll be as much of an issue as is thought, really.
Okay, right then, Niall, take it away with a show of betting from Paddy Power on the 12:40. I'm expecting numerous extra places here.
Yeah, you're right, Bruce. We're going to be paying 6 places in this race. Swindler is our 6-1 favourite. Blue Mist is 6-1. Aplomb 6-1, so I should say joint favourites. Magical Wish is 10-1. Woven 12-1. Burmese Waltz 12-1. Nahar 12-1. Gunmetal 12-1. And 14-1 bar.
Nice easy start, Keith. Away you go.
I actually really quite fancy one in this. We saw yesterday with the Crisford horse in the Britannia how the danger of these Royal Ascot handicaps, you know, even if you find one that's £10 ahead of its mark, there always might be one that's a stone ahead of it. So, there's always a danger with these. But I have found one I quite like in this race. It's Nahar, which sounds like Alan Partridge with a cold. But it's a horse that is back over... With the walking, obviously, it's a furious cavalry charge up that hill at Ascot. You want a horse that can... You know, a horse that just gets away with 6 isn't going to win a Wokingham. Nahar's been running over 7 recently and has been pulling fiercely, basically. He won some all-weather races quite easily, and then as soon as he stepped into big boy races, over 7 furlongs, he just pulled too hard at Newmarket a couple of times. He ran in a race won by Blown by Wind at the Guineas meeting the other week, over 7, was quite free in front again. Not entirely sure he handled the dip all that well either, to be honest. And then finished 4th. He lost 2 places quite late in the day. Now, Blown by Wind was on the wrong side in a handicap earlier in the week. Quasar, who was 3rd, running a Hunt Cup and didn't have a great passage, but finished with running left in 9th. And Popo, who was 2nd in the race, finished 3rd. So it's a really strong bit of form, that. Nahar went off a short price. I don't think he'd really get 7 furlongs at these stiff tracks. 6 furlongs at Ascot's much better for him. And I really quite fancy him at the prices.
Knowing me, Bruce Millington, knowing you, Keith Melrose, Nahar. Okay, Tom Collins, before you tell us your selection, what are you thinking in terms of draw bias today on the straight course?
Well, normally I would say high draw, and that proves to be the way the first 3 days. Yesterday, the horses drawn middle seemed to have the better run of things as well down the middle of the track. So I'm going anything from middle to high. I wouldn't want to be drawn on the flanks, especially low.
Okay, who are you going to go for then?
Well, like Keith, I made it down to a William Haggis runner, but it wasn't Nahar, it's Aplomb. William Haggis has his horses in great form, and this 4-year-old still looks like he's improving. He began in handicaps off a mark of 79 last year, progressed all the way up to a mark of 97, including a couple of seconds at this track. So he clearly hands the Ascot turf. He disappointed when he was favourite for a 22-runner cavalry charge at York on his last effort last year. But he's proved along the way that any given the ground will suit. he can go on good as well. So he's pretty versatile when it comes to conditions. He clearly needs further than five furlongs. William Haggis just put him in that five furlong race on his comeback, just as a prep run for this. The step up to six will suit. So will the fast pace. I think everything looks in line for a huge performance for aplomb.
And Niall, who are you going to go for?
I'm going to roll in behind Keith here. I really like Nahar as well. Off the whole field, I thought he's the one that could be potentially chucked in. He's only had six starts, as Keith said. He won his first four in average-looking races and then got found out a little bit when stepped up in grade. But like Keith said, I thought that was the trip as well. Like, if you look at the finishing speed for that last race at Newmarket, it was well below 100%, which would just tell you they went really hard. He was very keen early, so this stiff six furlongs should really suit. He's by Dark Angels, so he should handle a little bit of ease in the ground. Drawn in 21. I don't know about the draw. Like, that could switch. It was showing signs of it yesterday, so I'm not 100% sure, but going by most of the races this week, he should be okay. So yeah, I'd be fairly keen on him. I think I've seen 16-1 a bet. That's definitely worth a bet each way.
Excellent. The lads think the first race will be a William Haggis benefit. Keith and Niall both go for Nahar. Tom goes for aplomb. Let's move on to the first of the two-year-old races. At 1:15, Queen Mary Stakes, over five furlongs. What's the latest betting, Niall?
So we're going to be paying four plates in this race, and More Beautiful is our 11-8 favourite. Campanelle is 9-2, Sacred 11-2, Dicky Doodah 10-1, Happy Romance 10-1, and 12-1 bar.
Tom Collins, kick us off.
Well, More Beautiful is the banker of the week for many. I definitely don't want to lay her. I thought she looked fantastic on debut at Nace 12 days ago, and the time was very good. Aidan O'Brien's already had a successful week with his two-year-olds, Battleground winning the Chesham, etc. Saying that, 11-8 in this kind of field with four places, it's not really a bet. So I'll be looking at one at a bigger price for each-way purposes, which is Sardinia Sunset. I thought she travelled really well on debut at Newmarket. She looked all over the winner two furlong out, but bumped into Sacred, who reopposed in this field. She shot past her and ran out a ready winner in the end. I thought Sardinia Sunset could have done with a bit of cover. She raced just on the shoulder of the leader throughout. She looked like an absolute beast the way she was travelling. If she gets a little bit of cover in here, in behind one of the American runners, probably Campanelle, then I think she'll run into the places. Regarding the two American runners, the ground's not going to suit Royal Approval at all. They both ran in the same race at Gulfstream. It was a pretty poor race, to be fair. They dominated from the outset. Campanelle looked a little bit more professional in the early stages, so she'll probably lead in this field. And Royal Approval, I would be surprised if Royal Approval was even there with two furlongs to go. She's got an American pedigree. She won't handle the ground at all. Campanelle is the daughter of Kodiak, so she could handle the ground, although Kodiaks are obviously better on faster conditions. I wouldn't be using either of the Americans in any forecast, tri-cast, place bets, anything in this race. So look away from those for the each-way plays.
Okay, Sardinia Sunset for Roger Varian, who obviously banged in that amazing treble on Thursday. Niall, who are you going to go for?
Look, More Beautiful would be a very warm favourite here. I didn't find her very easy to get a handle on myself. I know Tom mentioned the time. The time figure was good. The time looked okay, but there was no race to compare it to, and we didn't have any sectionals for the race either, so I just struggled with her a little bit. With a little bit of ease in the ground as well, there's a few uncertainties to maybe take her on. The one I'm going to do that with is Happy Romance, who ran in that maiden behind Sacred. She was well backed initially, but she was quite eye-catching, very green, wasn't given a hard ride, and then ran on nicely for sixth and recorded a good sectional on that day as well. I think it was the fourth fastest on the card at Newmarket. She then went to stand in and won very easily, again in a useful time, but really wasn't hard ridden to record that. She's drawn near the Wesley Ward horse, so she should get a nice toe into the race. She should be okay on the ground and breeding. I'd be less worried about her than some of the opposition. So, quite keen on this Happy Romance each way.
And Keith?
Yeah, I think Powers have got More Beautiful a little bit, but 11-8 is probably going to be more RSP than the sort of prices you can get elsewhere at the moment, because I suspect that she is going to be quite well backed, and I can see why. I mean, that if you ever had a Coolmore horse that was bred to make a really good sharp two-year-old, it'd be the one by Warford out of maybe, wouldn't it? And that's what More Beautiful is. She just looked so quick at Nace, and the O'Brien horses obviously always come on loads for the first run. It's getting tucked in at 6-4, 11-8 in a race like this isn't my sort of bet, but if it is yours, then I think it's the right sort of one to go in with it on, because I think she is by far the likeliest winner.
So you're going to go with More Beautiful, but without particularly backing it up with hard cash, Keith. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's not my sort of bet, that, but if it was, you know, 11-8 in a 20-runner field is something I would only take if I was exceptionally confident.
Okay. Let's see if you're exceptionally confident on the 150, which is the Coventry Stakes over 6 furlongs. Could be the two-year-old race of the week. Let's see how Paddy Power bet. Niall?
Yeah, so it's their money back special race. So it's money back if you're second, third or fourth in this race. So yeah, Admiral Nelson heads are betting at 5-2. Kadar is 5-1. Creative Force 13-2. Lord at 9-1. Existent 10-1. Army of India 12-1. Dark Line 12-1. Science 12-1. Talbot 12-1. And 21 Bar.
And as ever with the money back special and all the extra places that Niall talks about, they are all available through Paddy Power on the Racing Post app. Niall, it's your go to go first. Who wins the Cov?
Yeah, I rarely get too carried away with visual performances, though this Admiral Nelson absolutely blew me away last Friday. The travelling win the way he did on Davy for Aidan O'Brien, I honestly think he could be a special horse. To back it up, it was the fastest section in the card, nearly a second faster, which is about 4 lengths. Than Siskin, who everyone was saying showed an unreal turn of foot. This lad did on debut as a two-year-old, and he's open to any amount of improvement. I seen a picture of him in the parade ring after and couldn't believe the size of him. He looks an absolute monster. I'll be gutted if he gets beaten. He's probably the horse I was most excited to see this week. So, yeah, Admiral Nelson, I'm very keen on this.
Niall, super confident about Admiral Nelson. Keith, who do you like?
Yeah, I think there's the chance that Admiral Nelson could just be that bit special, but the chances of Kadar being special are not as remote, relatively speaking, as the prices suggest. His time at Newbury, when he absolutely scooshed it, was really good. It was the same day, obviously, as Admiral Nelson won at the Curragh. And, the way he extended, the way he sort of strode out as well, he is bred to sort of get a little bit better as he goes up in distance, so he might be the sort of horse that keeps running in these big two-year-old races all season. And he just couldn't have left much of a better impression. I would have been surprised, having seen that, to think I would get 6-1 for the Coventry. Obviously, Admiral Nelson has that deep promise too, but I think I'd be going for Kadar.
And who will you be going for, Tom?
I thought this is possibly the best Coventry I've ever seen, based on paper. Obviously, we haven't seen it run yet, so it could be it could not work out as well as I expect. But
and you are only about 9 as well.
Obviously, yeah. But it does look jam-packed full of highly promising and talented two-year-olds. I backed Lauded after Lauded won on debut at Haydock at 16-1 for this. I thought Tom Dascombe's colt was super impressive that day. Ridiculously professional, got to the front against the rail, sauntered home without being asked for maximum effort. That came on good soft ground, so any rain is fine for Lauded as well. And then June the 12th came around and Mark Johnson released Kadar and Aidan O'Brien unleashed Admiral Nelson. And then I started thinking, oh, maybe I'm not on the winner for the Coventry. I'm going to stick with Lauded purely because I'm on, but I think Admiral Nelson looked absolutely superb. Very much like Kingman, his sire. I'll be placing a saver on him, but it's Lauded for me at the prices.
Thank you, chaps. Let's move on to 3 group ones. First two only have 7 runners, which is irksome for each way punters, but great races. 225 is the Coronation Stakes. And let's see who heads the market. Niall, take it away.
So Quadrilateral is our 9-4 favourite. Cloak of Spirits is 4-1. Run Wild is 4-1. Alpine Star 9-2. Sharing 9-2. So Wonderful 8-1 and 16-1 Love Locket.
Okay, so second and third in the 1,000 guineas rear pose. Keith, is that the form line that you're going to place most emphasis on?
It's probably the best form line. It's not the way I'll be betting, I wouldn't have thought. I can see what's going to happen this season. I put up So Wonderful for the Irish guineas. And she was third again, shaped pretty well, potentially could have just about argued she was second best in there. And she's still a maiden. I can see me backing her in all these group ones, and then she'll eventually win when she goes down to a listed race and goes off 4-11. But 10-1 on what she's actually achieved. She shaped better than the result in the Moyglare as well. I think it's just a little bit too big.
Okay. Tom, first of all, you've got your ear to the ground as far as American racing goes. Tell us about Sharing Grand Motion's cross Atlantic Raider.
Yeah, I really fancy Sharing in this field. I think she's the best chance of any American horse this week by quite a considerable distance, even on the ground. She's a pretty exceptional little filly, to be fair. She's won 4 races out of her 5 starts. She would obviously prefer it firm, Graham Motion said that in an interview before coming across, but she's unproven on soft. I think she'll probably handle it much more than Wesley Ward's runners. I'll take a chance at 6-1. She's got fantastic speed, but is in the mould of a British miler, so she doesn't necessarily need to go to the front. I think she'll probably just be positioned in behind the leaders by Oisin Murphy, who's a great booking. And Graham Motion is as shrewd as they come. He would not be sending a horse over here for no reason at all. Sharing's been working really well over 6 furlongs and 7 furlongs at Far Hills, which is a training centre used by some of the top trainers in America. Working over that kind of distance is a bit abnormal. Trainers seem to, based on the speed, obviously in America, speed is crucial. They gun them out the stalls early on and then hope that they have the stamina to last out the trip. So normally in breezes, they work over 4 furlongs or 5 furlongs. So Motion has clearly been prepping her for this contest by working over further. Her Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf win was spectacular. She proved she was right up there with the best of our fillies. She beat Daye that day. And she had the perfect prep for this a month ago. So I think she's got a great chance at the prices. I really don't like Quadrilateral. So yeah, I'll be siding with Sharon.
Okay, I'm only going to give you one tip for this postcast. And it is always follow Tom Collins' American tips in the Racing Post. They are absolutely superb. And he certainly kept things ticking along nicely during lockdown with a brilliant sequence of profit enhancing tips. Well done, Tom. Niall, who wins the coronation?
I've been waiting for Alpine Star to return for ages. She won last time at the Curra in an excellent time. Armory, who won in the same card, he ran well in the Guineas the other day. Alpine Star was faster overall and faster from the section point than Armory, so it just gives some substance to the performance. She beat a horse called something Musique, I can't remember the name, but Love was well in behind. So the form looks really strong. She's a half-sister to the brilliant Alpha Centauri out of Sea to Moon, so she's bred to improve further for the step up and trip to a mile. Quadrilateral, I think, needs further. I think I'd want to see Cloak of Spirits maybe back up her Guineas run. I'm just inclined to take on the American horses. That's what I've just been doing all week at Ascot, or I have been doing, because I just don't know enough about them to back them. So yeah, I'm fairly keen on Alpine Star here. And with Frankie booked, I presume she's going to be fairly straight for this.
Okay, so the 1,000 Guineas getting very much poo-pooed by the lads. Keith goes for So Wonderful, Tom goes for Sharing, and Niall goes for Alpine Star. St James's Palace Stakes next.
Paddy Power are offering extra places for each-way betting every day of Royal Ascot. Check out the app or website now. Terms and conditions apply. 18+.
What a race. Absolutely can't wait for this one. Niall, take it away with a show of betting.
Yeah, so Pinatubo heads our market at 7-4. Wichita's 2-1. Palace Pier 4-1. Trett 8-1. Arizona 14-1. Positive 14-1. And Royal Dornoch is 33-1.
I'm extremely excited about this one. Tom, we were talking beforehand. You don't share my enthusiasm for this, do you?
No, I think it's a good addition with the top three in the market. They're clearly all very talented. But it's not a betting race for me. I couldn't really find the value. I thought Pinatubo was obviously fantastic last year and he loomed up large in the Guineas. I did think he stayed because he wasn't exactly fading at the line. He was banged there in third, but he just didn't pick up in the style that he did last season. That kind of disappointed me. I can't really back him at the price. Maybe he'll come on plenty for the run, but 15-8 is pretty short. Wichita, I don't really like Wichita. I think Pinatubo will reverse the form. The value bet in the race is obviously Palace Pier, but just Acquitted's run on Tuesday was really poor. The final section of that race from Acquitted was very, very poor. So Palace Pier maybe was flattened by the
Now you can't hang on a second. I've got to jump in, Tom. It was too bad to be true, that Acquitted run. I don't think you can possibly let, you know, your opinion of Palace Pier get dragged down by that. I mean, he was last going into the straight and virtually pulled up. I mean, that cannot be his best run, because if it is, then Palace Pier is the second worst horse in that race yesterday. You know, you surely just have to write that one off, don't you?
You could, yeah. I mean, obviously, it probably wasn't his run on Tuesday, but I mean, the sectional at Newcastle that Acquitted showed in the final furlong was pretty poor, which is why I thought he'd be better dropped back to 7 furlongs. Whether the step up to a mile and two on Tuesday played against Acquitted that day, because obviously, coming into the straight, he didn't really look like he was going anywhere and faded at the back of the picture. So maybe his stamina didn't last, or he just wasn't right. I'm not sure. But the final furlong from Acquitted at Newcastle behind Palace Pier, I didn't think was very good. Palace Pier is obviously a very promising performer. He's won all three of his starts. He represents top connections. He could be anything. He could be a Derby horse, and he's probably the bet in this race at 4-1. But I just can't really back him based on Acquitted's poor sectional at Newcastle and poor run on Tuesday.
Okay, so it sounds like you're going to sit this one out, but if forced, which you're not, you'd go for Palace Pier. Niall, are you any more enthusiastic about this race than Tom?
I think I've got it narrowed down to two in Pinatubo and Tret, with one being the most likely winner for me and then the other being the value each way bet that I'll have. Pinatubo, I think he barely gets a mile, and I think he paid the price in the guineas for just making a big move into a strong pace, and just at the end of it, he didn't really have it. In a more evenly run contest, I think he's just a faster and better horse than these, and he's entitled to come on for that reappearance. Wichita obviously ran a cracker in the guineas, so I think he's more of a staying miler and might be done for a turn of pace here. I also think he'd be hindered a little bit by the ease in the ground. I think he needs it really fast. Palace Pier, I think, blatantly wants further. I'd really like him in the Derby. I just don't think he's going to be fast enough to live with these. Tret was obviously a very good horse last year, over 5 and 6 furlongs. So I was surprised looking at his striding. Now, it's something that people debate is it worth using, but I actually quite like looking at it. His striding is that of a 1 mile 4 furlong horse, which is very unusual. It basically suggests that he's a freak to be able to run over these sprint trips and record the type of times he did. So he should really improve for the mile. He had a setback, which is a little bit off-putting. So I'm still going to chance him each way here, as I think he's a really nice horse for the season.
Okay, threat for Niall. Who do you think is going to win it, Keith?
I'm looking at, well, it's a race where I'm just going to play small stakes at bigger prices. I think with Pinatubo, and to be fair, the market has largely done that. You've got to, you just almost ignore that 2-year-old form now and treat him as what he's done at 3. I agree with Niall's assessment, actually, what happened with him at Newmarket. I thought there was a big move made and that he probably paid for that, especially with it being his first run of the season. It is mitigation, but only that. You know, he was £10 below what he showed last year, so I couldn't be giving him away at that. Positives, the one I'll probably back at a big price. The run when he won the Solario Stakes is really quite impressive. Obviously, he beat Kimiko, who's gone on to win the Guineas. And Alsu Hale was third, the three of them miles clear. Alsu Hale went on to finish second in the Autumn Stakes, miles clear with Military March. And Ropey Guest was in third, who ran pretty well yesterday. So the form all the way through is really quite good. And the only reason positive is this price is because he flopped in the Dewhurst on his next run. If it wasn't for that, he'd be half the price. So I think small stakes on him.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much, chaps. Let's move on to the 3:35, the 6 furlong Group 1 Diamond Jubilee Stakes and the it's sort of riches to rags to riches story. Skeptical. Can he get the job done? He's favourite, Niall.
Yeah, he's our 2-1 favourite. Hallo Hume's in at 7-2. One Master, 5-1. Kadem, 11-2, Dream of Dreams, 8-1, Shine So Bright, 8-1, and 14-1 bar. We're going to be paying 4 place in this race as well.
Excellent. Keith, just take us through the sceptical story, would you? Because obviously he was brought for or sold out of Godolphin for an absolute pittance and has then taken off, hasn't he?
Well, that's the story, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Come on, add a little more romance. Well, it's a small Irish yard, isn't it? You know, the rating's gone through the roof. Niall, will sceptical justify favouritism?
Probably.
You sound sceptical.
I'm just not totally gone on his form. I know they think he's seriously fast, and they had another sprinter to compare him with, Make a Challenge, that he was working all over prior to winning first time up for this trainer, second time up for this trainer. So they obviously think very highly of him. He was very impressed with Nace last time. The time figure was decent, but at the prices, Dennis Hogan, he's a decent trainer, but in a Royal Ascot Group 1, I'm just going to take him on at that price. Shine So Bright here is an interesting runner for Andrew Balding. He looked a horse to be really going places last season, being excellent on the clock a few times over 7 furlongs. I think, like, prior to running a shocker at Doncaster on this podcast, I think I call him the best 7 furlong horse in Europe potentially, and he's made a fool of me since. I don't know what's happened. He was really keen last time behind Mustachery, so I think this drop to 6 furlongs on easy ground might just be his ideal. He won on reappearance last year, so that doesn't really worry me, and Andrew Balling obviously hit the ground running as well. I'm just going to take a chance on him. I have some small ground worries for Skeptical, but it's nothing major. It's just hard to know with him. But yeah, I'm going to chance Shine So Bright each way.
Did you say you're going to be 4 places here?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, on that basis, I'm going to have a little bet on the Tin Man at 14-1. Keith, who are you going to be backing?
I think you can duck the Skeptical question a little bit for me. I think the bet in this race is Hiddle Humes in each way. I can't see him, especially if you're getting 4 places, can't see him being outside the 4 at all, really. He was obviously third in the Commonwealth Cup here last year, and his 2 starts since, he made all in the Sprint Cup at Haydock. and shaped better than eighth in the champion sprint on Champions Day. He got squeezed out late on. I think he probably went a bit too hard, to be quite honest. So, I think the horse is still probably quite progressive. He's only four. Got a lot. He's got course form. He'll handle it whether it's soft or it's not so or it's good. Yeah, it's a really really solid each way bet.
Okay, Niall goes for Shine So Bright. Keith goes for Hello Yumzane, and Tom goes for who?
It's a bit of. I'm just going to mix up a bit of what Keith and Niall said. To be fair, I think Skeptical is a fantastic story, but I'm not sure about the ground for him. He's only had one turf start that came on good to firm. It's hard to make all in Diamond Jubilee as well. Dennis Hogan's shrewd, but can't really be backing it. Skeptical at that price. I think Hello Yumzane should be favourite. I think he's the most likely winner of the race. Goes extremely well fresh. I tipped him in the Sprint Cup, so I've kind of got to stay with him for loyalty as well. Yeah, scintillating early speed will get him into a perfect position. Clearly handles the ground, and I think he has a huge chance.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, gents. Let's move on to the 4:10. It's the Wokingham over 6 furlongs and one of the joint favourites. Mubaka came out this morning on grounds of ground. I'm not quite sure what ground they actually wanted, but they've decided not to chance him, which I think leaves Kevin Ryan's Bielsa at the head of the market, Niall.
Yeah, and can I actually just say we're actually 3 places on that Diamond Jubilee. So, I'm going to get a slap over the head for that. But yeah, we're just standard each way terms there. Sorry.
That's right. It did seem a bit generous, I must say. But anyway,
yeah,
go on.
When you said it, I was going to better double check that. But yeah, I was wrong.
I hope you're going to make up for it with plenty of extra places in the Wokingham, hopefully.
Yeah, we're going to be 6 places here. So that should make up for it. Bielsa is our 11-2 favourite. Tinto is 9-1. Summergan 9-1. Spanish City 9-1. Highland Dress 9-1. Conchak 12-1. Danzino 14-1. And it's 16-1 bar.
Lead on Tom Collins.
I thought this was devilishly difficult. Normally, I've had an angle with these handicaps. Not that they've always been, they've actually been that successful so far this week. But normally, had an angle with these big field handicaps. For this one, I just thought it was extremely tough. I'll give each way chances to Gulliver and Konchek at the prices. Gulliver is unexposed at this track. He finished second on his only run here and is suited by big field fast run handicaps. So this would have been his target. He's only £2 higher in the weights than when winning the sprint trophy at York in 2019. And Ryan Moore's an interesting booking. He's also drawn high. So the angles are there for Gulliver. And Konchek's potentially well handicapped off 96. His form leaves a little bit to be desired. Plenty will look over him just based on his form figures. But he was only beaten 2 lengths by Advertise in the July Stakes at 2. He was fifth in the Norfolk. So he was a pretty decent juvenile. Not much went right from last year after a promising third on his reappearance behind Calix in the Pavilion at this track. But he's fallen down the weights. He's been gelded and Clive Cox can get them ready first time up. So Konchek and Gulliver.
Niall, who's your idea of the Wokingham winner?
I thought this looked a poor enough renewal. I've gone with Tinto, who's had plenty of runs. So he's only a four-year-old, and I thought he looked a much improved horse at Newmarket last time. His time overall was marginally faster than the Group 3 won by Oxford on the same card, and Oxford's now rated 112. So running off 100 with Marco Gianni's claim, he's actually have 105, but the claim takes 5 off. I think he could still be very well treated. He's got Ascot form from last year in easy ground when getting up late to nab Aplomb, who reopposes here. Sorry, he's actually in the Silver Wokingham, isn't he? I think at the very least, he'll run into a place and he could go close.
Okay, and Keith Milrose.
Tom stole my thunder again. It's a theme this week, isn't it? I quite like Gulliver. The usual caveat of a big race like this, nothing that I fancy really, really strongly, not like Nahar in the first, but just to bring awareness to one at a price that I think will run well. Improved towards the tail end of last year. Not sure I can believe that subtle form. On that basis, he'd be really, really well handicapped, but it is subtle. It's a bit of a law unto itself. Even throw that out, and he's got a decent chance on form. The Newmarket run at the Guineas meeting had the feel of a bit of a pipe opener, and he's duly booked Ryan Muir for the Wokingham, which tells you that it probably was. Everything sort of seems in place for a decent run, and he probably should be a little bit shorter than 20-25-1.
Okay, thanks, chaps. I've just looked across the office and seen the imposing figure of Mr. Paul Keeley smashing away his computer with tomorrow's column. Keels, who wins the Wokingham? Lethal Lunch apparently wins. That's what Paul Keeley thinks. Chaps, let's come to the final race of a weird, very different, but still very wonderful 2020 Royal Ascot. It takes place at 4:40. It's the Queen Alexandra Stakes over just short of 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs. We are hearing there are doubts about the participation of Mekong, who at the time of talking is favourite. Niall, take us through the betting. It might well change if Mekong does defect, but at least it gives us an idea of the hierarchy.
Yeah, so Mekong was our 9-4 favourite. Who Dares wins is 3-1. The Grand Vizier 7-2. Nate the Great 13-2. Fun Mac 10-1. Imphal 12-1. Adratos 33-1. It's a Freebie 33-1. And Monsieur Co 33-1. We'll just say 33-1, Bear.
Okay, and Keith, because you've had your thunder stolen so much this week, my friend, you better go first.
Well, yeah, I've had my thunder stolen here a little bit too, because I fancied taking on Mekong with Who Dares wins. But if Mekong comes out, I'm probably going to be backing up, tipping a favourite here that, you know, the big chunk of the betting, about 30% of the book that Mekong's taking out, won't be there anymore. Who Dares wins, the case is reasonably straightforward, does have that classy flat form. He was fourth in the Cadran last year and has run well here in the past. Still a classy chaser, got 150 plus form over fences from the winter there. And Alan King's obviously, I mean, we're recording this before Friday's racing, and he has won in the Duke of Edinburgh, but his first two runners of the week finished first and second. So King, he's obviously got them flying for Royal Ascot, and Who Dares wins would probably, on purely on form, have been regarded as his best chance of the week.
Niall, who are you going to go for?
Thought this was probably one of the weakest races of the week. I've landed on Nate the Great just because I think he's worth taking a chance at the prices on. He's less exposed than most of these. He was really well supported last week or 2 weeks ago on his first start for Balding. Now, he just ran okay in a handicap at Newmarket, so I think he can improve for that, and I think he could improve for the trip. Like I said, this would be one of my lowest confidence races of the week, but I'm just willing to chance Nate the Great.
Are you confident, Tom?
No, I think this is a shocking renewal. I was all over laying Mekong. I really wanted Mekong to run. I thought he was pretty disappointing in the Gold Cup, and it's hard to back up that that performance, which was, they were obviously walking home behind Stradivarius that day. I thought that would have been impossible to back up in the Queen Alexandra. So I wanted to take Mekong on. The Grand Vizier is the one for me. Clearly goes well fresh. He won the Ascot Stakes at this track over this trip last year. He's had a little prep run at Worcester over hurdles. It's not really a race for me. I'll be long gone, I think, in the betting terms of things, getting ready for Tis the Law to get the job done in the Belmont Stakes. But the Grand Vizier for me, if I was to have a bet in the Queen Alexandra.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Let's get the day five naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Tom Collins. Who's your best bet of Saturday?
I will put forward Lauded in the commentary each way, purely on the basis that he was fantastic on debut.
Okay, Keith Melrose.
Nahar each way.
In the 1240, and Niall O'Reilly.
Admiral Nelson in the 150.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much indeed, gents. It's been great to have your company all week. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope the final day of Royal Ascot is good for you. Don't forget to bet responsibly and safely. And don't forget also to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. Next week, the podcasts are back. Maddie Player will be here on Monday to look back on this momentous week. And we're back next Friday looking ahead to next week's action. So join us for those.
Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.